LA North Syracuse, WSGO Oswego, W249BC Mattydale, W261AC Oswego, WTKW HD2 Bridgeport, ESPN Radio.
You know, I had this cheer trying to get somebody to make some noise. It's sad. Sickening, really.
Somehow they coached me into doing this.
On the run out, Georgetown Braswell comes out of nowhere and swipes it away against the window.
I need to switch companies if Pauly was Employee of the Year.
There was a vote between his mother and father, and it was a split decision.
And now they're having fun.
See, buddy, throw it up.
Oh, okay. Okay, buddy.
With his monster.
To the rim for Gurriel.
I saw some split things on the ground. I said, yo, is that a dude?
Syracuse right back the other way. Dolezal in transition lays it in, gets the friendly roll. Gerard, a deep three, got it. Fans might want to get used to seeing that.
This is Orange Nation with Stephen Fonte.
This is Orange Nation without Stephen Fonte today. Pauly Sebelia, Mario Sacco in for Steve today. Steve out on assignment in Antarctica for the afternoon.
We sent him out.
He'll be back tomorrow for the regular thing. Don't forget, Papa John's is the official pizza sponsor of the big game on ESPN Radio. Order their new delicious stuffed crust pizza at 2921 James Street in Syracuse. Mario, how are you today?
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, I got you. How are you?
Sorry about that. I'm getting some bad feedback.
All right. How about now? Is it gone now?
Yeah, we're good now. Sorry. working through some things over here.
All right, no worries. How are you today?
Thanks for having me on. I'm like Kramer. I just keep showing up at Jerry's door, and you guys keep putting me on for some odd reason.
Now, I wanted to ask you, we talked a lot yesterday about Syracuse, Virginia, and it was a game that kind of took Syracuse fans from being happy after two blowout wins against middle-of-the-pack teams or a little bit lower to jumping off the bridge. Where did you stand after the loss to Virginia?
I took it the way that the loss to Pitt was. You got to turn the page on it. And at the beginning of the year, I had the Virginia basketball team. I had them ranked fifth in the ACC in my rankings, and I got absolutely hammered by Virginia fans. But that looks every bit of a top 10 ranked team in the nation. They can score on the inside. They can score on the outside. They're very good. Completely different team that lost to San Francisco at the beginning of the year. So I take it as that loss to Pitt. You gotta turn the page. You played well for maybe about 15 minutes of that basketball game, and then you couldn't shoot the ball, and you know, fast break points killed you.
All right, I'm going to hit you on all the same things that the fans were panicked about last night, and then later on in the show we got Mike Waters on, and we're going to hit him. We're going to hit him on it. So. We've got Jim Buddy Boeheim is struggling shooting the ball this year. Played 39 minutes of that game. Where did you stand on his performance in moving forward? What should be done with him?
Well, I mean, it's no secret that Buddy hasn't shot the ball well the last couple of games. He hasn't shot it well in a majority of games actually this year. You know, besides the first half outburst that he had at UNC, the 18 points. Since he's came back, he struggled to shoot the basketball, and that's been a problem. And I think the problem with Buddy and trying to get into that rhythm, he's not getting opportunities where he can catch and shoot. A lot of the shots against Virginia when I went back and watched it, it was Buddy trying to create from himself, even from the three-point arc. And you know, he doesn't have success at that right now. That's been the problem. As far as who would you have put in for Buddy? Kadari wasn't very good in that basketball game either. So, I mean, you go to the bench to a Woody Newton, and as Coach said, he's just not performing in practice, and they're not going to put him in the basketball game. That's not a place where you want a freshman down in Charlottesville to go into a basketball game, and Kadari found that out trying to be thrown in there and just how good they are against that.
Did you at any point think Jesse Edwards should have gotten even a slight look in that ball game?
I do. But you know, how much does he rely on him being able to man that zone? But as we saw in the second half, no one was playing it well. I mean, Virginia was getting wide open threes. As coach says, it's not just one guy. It's not just the top of their zone that's not rotating well, or you know, the bigs down low. It could be a mixture of things as to why guys were getting open shots. And I thought Jesse should have played a little bit in the basketball game, at least put him out there to see what worse could he have done in the basketball game. You're down by 25 points to get him some run. I mean, that mixture of him trying to find someone off the bench with if it be Robert Braswell or Jesse Edwards, is confusing to say the least. And, you know, I know he wants one of them to try and fill that role so he can go with seven guys, but right now it's not happening.
Are you in a doom and gloom position with this team, or are you confident that was just because Virginia was that much better than them?
I would be if they lose two out of their next three games. I think this is a stretch of basketball right now for Syracuse that is very important their season. They sit at 3-4 in the conference, 9-5 overall, and you got NC State, Louisville, Clemson, NC State. Between Clemson and NC State, both those teams are reeling right now. NC State's lost four in a row, I do believe. Clemson has lost three in a row, and they've been absolutely getting hammered by teams. I have Clemson's schedule right here. I mean, Virginia beat them 85-50. Georgia Tech beat them 83-65, and Florida State was up 40 on them before winning by 20. So, I mean, these are basketball games that you need to win. That Virginia game, like I said, Virginia is going to be top three, if not the top team in the conference. I think it'll come down to them and Florida State. But these games against NC State and Clemson, maybe you steal one against Louisville. These next four games are going to be very key for Syracuse schedule. I guess you can even go five because you got a Boston College team on the 13th of February that, you know, Boston College is at the bottom of the conference. That's a game that you need to win and win convincingly.
All right, fans in Twitch are getting mad at us. If you're listening on the radio, you could check us out on Q Sports Talk on Twitch that we're beating the dead horse of the Virginia game. But here's the thing. The reaction to the Virginia game is more of the story, I think, than actually what happened in the game, because I found myself in that situation where I completely walked away from that game overreacting, I think. I don't think I took into any consideration how good Virginia was. Like, you know, you go and you're like, hey, they lost to San Francisco. This isn't the Virginia team that we've seen. They got crushed by a good, great Gonzaga team. But I walked out of that because it was so ugly. You know,
I mean, it was that way against Pittsburgh too, Paulie. I mean, you look at some of it. You looked at Syracuse losses up until the point of Pittsburgh, and you're like, they should have won every one of those games. But then you look at these last two losses that they've had, the Pitt loss and the Virginia loss, and you're like, what basketball team was that? In both those basketball games, am I more the basketball team that has been in every game, or am I that basketball team that when it comes to playing good teams can't hang with them? And right now we don't know that.
It has been a crazy season too, because even the Pitt loss at the Dome was ugly. Like all of their losses have been ugly, and their wins have been as if they were clicking on all cylinders. You know, they've blown everybody.
That's what happens when you shoot, 50%, 45% from behind the arc and you're hitting 15 threes a game. And that hasn't happened lately for them. And we've seen it with teams and how they're guarding Buddy and how they're trying to stop that and how Alan Griffin is being guarded. Quincy's going to get his points down low, and we've seen that. Quincy has been outstanding all season long. But, you know, they need guys like Buddy and Joe to score consistently at 14, 17 points a game. They need to get 30 to 35 points out of those two guys to win a basketball game.
315-437-7644. If you would like to chime in, talk to Mario and myself about SU basketball. We're going to get more into where we think they're going and what they can do. And everybody talks Marek. Marek's got to do this. Marek's got to do that. Do you think it's at a point now, and I'm starting to think this, that Quincy needs more touches? Everybody says run the ball through Marek. I'm starting to think Quincy's the guy that should be getting touches almost every time down the court now.
Well, it'd be completely different if Marek was actually playing the position that he should be playing at the four and instead of having the five. So, you know, they're curtailing their offense through Marek up top, setting that high screen, kind of giving Quincy one-on-one work to go one-on-one if he wants to from the outside and take his man off the dribble. We've seen him a couple of times get the ball inside and what he can do in there, for instance, against Virginia Tech when he went off on 9 straight points and you know, smaller Virginia Tech guys were on him and he was able to dominate. Coaches said they're trying to get the ball inside. The last they tried to get the ball inside against Pitt. Virginia Tech, you know, you saw a couple of times of them trying to pound it inside to Quincy. They're not the teams of the past where, you know, you have a Derek Coleman down there or a John Wallace or even a, you know, Orenzi Onowaku that you can pound the ball down low, you know, 40 times a game. That's not going to happen. This is a shooting basketball team, and their offense is curtailed toward that.
Yeah, the thing with Marek at the five is he can distribute and he can get by other centers. I don't think he's that big of an offensive, you know, disadvantage.
It just hurts you on the defensive end.
Absolutely. I mean, but the one consistent guy on this team this year has been Quincy, and it's I'm almost to the point where feed him the ball and let's go through him, and if he doesn't have an open look, maybe Marek's number two on that list of who should be touching the ball. I have lost faith in the fact that our shooters are going to create shots for themselves. Something's got to happen in order to get them open. And if it's a kick in and kick out for a three, I think would be a better option than Buddy dribbling into the lane or taking two steps and trying to shoot over a guard.
You're seeing a lot of times when Syracuse is running their set offense, you see Marek come up and set that high screen, and you see guys like Joe or Buddy trying to come off it. And right now, defenders are just doubling. They're forcing Buddy and Joe out almost to the logo on basketball courts, 40 feet away from the hoop, and not allowing them to turn the corner because they know that if they lob it, throw it back into Marek, Marek's not going to take that long three or even that long two. Marek, as you said, is more of the guy. If he catches at the three-point line, he's going to try and make a move on you. So maybe you switch that up and put Quincy there to give a little bit more offensive threat. But Syracuse needs to do a better job of recognizing when that double team comes to try and get their guy into a position to try and score.
Yeah, and you say they set screens up top. Yeah, you talk about Syracuse setting screens. The screens are nearly invisible or ineffective, or I don't know what you want to call it. Yeah, yeah. You know, you look back on guys like Craig Forth and Orenze and Rick Jackson.
A guy would know he's getting a screen on him when those guys.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, so this is kind of a I'm going to stand in front of you and flash. You know, I always say this. Craig Forth put a guy on his butt at least once or twice a game and took the foul that way. Just so they knew not, you know, to give the shooter some space. Although getting hit by Marek probably isn't going to.
You see every time these guys are rolling off that, Paulie, that Syracuse is, they're 35 feet out from the basket trying to set up their offense. I mean, you have to get into a better offensive flow. And you saw it in the Virginia game that, you know, if it be Buddy, if it be Allen, or if it be Joe, within, I think it was 4 or 5 possessions in a row, Joe came down, chucked a three, you know, not even 5 seconds into the shot clock. Buddy, you know, a couple of dribbles and, you know, trying to chuck one. Allen trying to drive into the middle of the lane with three guys there. You know, there's times this offense just makes you scratch your head.
Right. And speaking of our offense, Quincy Guerrier spoke about the shooters post game of the Virginia game.
Yeah, shooters got to make shots. We got to play better on defense. I think we have a pretty good team. We definitely have a good team. We just need, like I said, we need to communicate on defense. And we need to make shots, too. It's going to help us a lot.
I guess
Coach,
making shots and playing defense are kind of important.
Those might be the two keys of a basketball game. But Coach talked about after the game, Coach Boeheim said that, you know, we got the shots that we wanted, but yesterday putting together the Orange Nation show that we do on TV on Thursday, you know, I scrubbed through the game a little bit to try and watch it, and I must have been watching a different tape because a lot of the shots Syracuse took were contested, especially Buddy's shots from behind the arc. You know, he was 1 for 8 from behind the arc, and I would say...
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1.
Live from Armory Square, this is Orange Nation.
Orange Nation today, Paulie, Sibilia, Mario Sacco, use Channel 9's Mario Sacco, as we like to refer to him. Before we get into SU basketball and the expectations of this team, we have, if you watch on Q Sports Talk on Twitch, we have a great conversation going with the people watching on Twitch now about a stock called GameStop and how it's somehow over the past week, it's been all over the news that it has literally skyrocketed from a $4 stock almost to $328 today, and it's because of nerds on Reddit or something like that. And it's crazy, and there's some people that in this week have become very, very rich off of a stock that nobody can figure out why it's gotten that high.
Yeah, and this is a conversation with a couple of my high school friends, and he sent me an article. My one buddy said a guy put his life savings of $50K in the GameStop stock when it was around $4 a share, and he's cashed out at $15 million.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a lot of Call of Duty games.
That is crazy to me. Well, see, the funny thing with GameStop is you can buy the games on your consoles now. It's not like... 1990 yeah, yeah. or the 80s when you had to buy
it. Where you have to go and get it.
Yeah. I don't get how it happened, but I have a game. I bought GameStop when it was $4 myself because it had a great dividend, and then it dropped to $2 and I bailed, but now it's like $328 bucks. So that's just my typical luck.
All right. My buddy bought it around $4.2 and he bailed when it was up to 80 something, and now he's kicking himself that he didn't hold on to it.
So this financial moment has been brought to you by our producer, Jordan, asked a great question in the Q Sports Talk Twitch chat room. And Jordan, what were you asking everybody?
I'm just curious what's going to satisfy everybody this year with this SU team. We've seen what we've seen so far. We know there's room to improve. There are guys who aren't playing right now. What's going to satisfy everyone? Deep tournament run, top five ACC, just to be off the bubble for once. What'll make everyone happy?
I think that's a great question for the callers, 2437-7644. Where they stand right now, in my opinion, getting to the tournament would be a victory and a celebration for this basketball team this year. And I would take that. I would take round one.
I agree to an extent. Are you satisfied every year with just making the tournament? And callers, I'm sure, are going to call in and say, we shouldn't be satisfied with just making an NCAA tournament year in and year out. Well, right now, especially in the year that this is, and we've seen the year that college basketball is, look at Duke, for instance. All the five stars that Duke has, you know, they barely escaped against Georgia Tech. They're one game over 500. I'm sure they're just hoping to get into the NCAA tournament this year. We saw what happened to a North Carolina squad last year. If there was an NCAA tournament, they weren't making the NCAA tournament. So your marquee programs can go through, you know, ebbs and flows. And this Syracuse basketball team this year, yes, I think making the NCAA tournament would be a positive in a season that's been so strange, to say the least.
It would be so nice to not be on the bubble and watching that TV show and not knowing.
I don't think that's happening this year.
You know,
and I said in past when I was on with Seth, I said, you know, this is an ACC that I don't see ACC season that I don't see Syracuse ripping off 5 wins in a row. Maybe the Virginias can do it, and we've seen them do it. Virginia hasn't lost in, 15 straight ACC games now. And maybe your Florida States and Virginias will be able to do it, but I don't think Syracuse can rip off 5 wins in a row. If they can, now's the stretch of games that they need to do it.
All right, we got to take another quick timeout. Danny Shays joins us at the bottom of the hour on Orange Nation.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. Live from Armory Square, this is Orange Nation.
It is Orange Nation. Paulie Sibilia, Mario Sacco, Stephen Fonte on assignment in Madrid. We are talking sports with you. We're also watching the GameStop ticker on Twitch. Q Sports Talk on Twitch. Yes, yes. It's our Twitch has got a life of its own on the GameStop ticker. So, you know what? Stocks dropping in my book. How's that for a transition? The Baseball Hall of Fame is completely. I love it. I'm a huge baseball guy. I love the Hall of Fame. I love going to it. I love seeing all the records and the bats and the statue, the frames and everything. It's just lost its luster. Baseball has lost its way when it comes to the Hall of Fame, and I don't know that there's any way to remedy it in this point, and we've got 5 minutes to do it. So where do you stand on the nobody getting in and Curt Schilling, Bonds, and McGuire?
I stand that they should be in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, if you look at the Hall of Fame, you have people in there that are, you know, questionable. And you're going to say, and the purest baseball purist is going to say, they cheated the game of baseball by taking performance-enhancing drugs. And you're 100% correct. But look at some of the other people in the Hall of Fame, and, you know, maybe they didn't cheat the game of baseball, but their integrity, was their integrity the greatest? Was, you know, their character the greatest, and you still put them in the Hall of Fame? So guys like Curt Schilling, Curt Schilling, number one, should be in the Hall of Fame. What he's done off the field since he's baseball's been over with, I don't agree with him at all. And that's for a different time. But baseball-wise, Curt Schilling is a Hall of Famer. Roger Clemens, a Hall of Famer. Barry Bonds, a Hall of Famer.
Right, and I agree to the point that it's... I'll probably get killed for this, but I get the point why Pete Rose is not in. What he did was embarrassing for the game, and the way he handled it, it's a joke. And can they work it out?
I mean, that's the number... Number one rule of baseball. Yeah. It was the number one rule of baseball at the time.
Yeah, and I get it if they decide to put him in, and I'll be fine with it. It's just, it's not the Hall of Fame of humanity, or, you know, it's, you're not being christened as a saint when you go into the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's
that's a great way to put it.
It's for baseball, and Barry Bonds is a Hall of Famer whether he took steroids or not.
Greatest hitter of my generation, if not all time. And rest in peace, Hank Aaron, and how great a player that he was. But watching Barry Bonds and everyone saw all the performance enhancing drugs he was on. He had the quickest wrist I've ever seen of a baseball player. And same thing on the mound for Roger Clemens, the way he was able to dominate, especially in those younger years. Of Clemens, and, you know, the 20 strikeout games, and just how dominant he was on the mound.
And people forget about Barry Bonds as a Pirate. Like
trust me, I don't forget, all right?
He was amazing.
I mean, he was a legit 30-30 guy, and every season with Pittsburgh, and he was a great outfielder.
Yeah, and he weighed 115 pounds when he played for them, so... So
his head wasn't the size of a balloon. But
he's definitely in. Clemens, like, people also forget how dominant Clemens was. You remember he had that huge strikeout game, and everybody had to get his baseball card. Like, as soon as he did that, it was, you know, they were the back then. Baseball was fun, and you watched for the players. And you could name players on every team. You knew. You knew Barry Bonds on the Pirates and Roger Clemens was a Red Sox. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. And I sound like an old guy, but...
I mean, Bud Selig is in the Hall of Fame. Okay?
Right.
And when was he the commissioner of?
Right, yes.
When all this was going on. So, I mean, take it for what it's worth.
Yeah, and I would get to the point now, if I was them, I wouldn't want to be in. Like,
I mean, that's basically what Schilling said. I mean, I want to take my name off the ballot. I'm going to leave it up to the Veterans Committee to vote me in. I don't even want to be on it next year. And, you know, extent, good for him if that's how he feels. Like I said, I have other views on Curt Schilling and how he feels on other things, but strictly as a baseball player, that man should be in the Hall of Fame.
Right, and we can also maybe later in the show get into the discussion of who's voting for these guys, and you know maybe that's another topic.
He needed 16 more votes, and what was it? 14 people had an empty ballot.
Right.
Out of those, why are they voting for the Hall of Fame then? I mean, like you said, we can get into that another time, but you know, who are these guys to judge? You know, what standing record do they have that they can break down a Barry Bonds to a Scott Rolen or, you know, so to say. Right. I know I don't want to have that vote because, I consider myself a huge baseball fan, but I don't want to have that vote to decide who goes into the Hall of Fame and who shouldn't.
All right, we got to take another time out. We want to talk to Mike Waters, Syracuse basketball, when we come back. I almost want to ask Mike Waters all of the crazy panicked questions and statements we heard.
That he's gotten in the mailbox.
Well, I'm sure he has gotten him in the mailbox too, but just from the calls yesterday, like I want to ask him the question I asked Danny Shays about coaches having the games pass them by, you know, about Syracuse can't recruit, you know, so we'll hit him with some of those. Those are fun. And we'll talk more X's and O's too. And he and I have had something in common about Coach Boeheim's press conference too. So we'll hit on that next on ESPN Radio Syracuse.
On Twitch, Q Sports Talk and ESPN Radio 97.7 at 100.1. This is Orange Nation.
Ooh! He is listening to me when I request bump songs. Lunez, I got 5 on it. This is bringing me back to my heyday. This is like 95. Good work, Jordan. He listens. It's Orange Nation, Pauly Sebelia, Mario Sacco, and Twitch. We brought something up. People were questioning your fandom about it being a Pirates fan and what it's like to go to games at PNC Park. And what did you you said you had an interesting experience at a Pirates game, and it's actually against a team I had an interesting fan experience too, the Cleveland Indians.
So everyone knows the Steelers, you know, rivalry with the Browns and how, you know, that's one team that you don't like. When you grow up in Western PA, you don't like the Cleveland Browns. Well, this carried over to the baseball field. This was probably, I would say, maybe 15 years ago or so. And my grandma is a huge Pirates fan. She would listen to every Pirates game on her transistor radio when she was little. And up until she passed away at 100 years old, up until she was 100, she would always listen to the Pirates games. So we took her, the family, there's 30 of us. We, you know, got the bleachers in the outfield and had, you know, basically 3 rows of Sacco family members. And about the 6th inning hits and a Pirates fan holds up a sheet that says the Browns still suck. And an Indians fan who was sitting, you know, in the first 2 rows, went over and tried to rip it from him, and a fight ensues. And my grandma, rest her soul, she's 80-something at the time, is right in the middle of this melee. And we're trying to get my grandma out of there and it looked like we were throwing punches, but we were just trying to get my grandma out of there. And, you know, the Pirates ended up winning the game. It was, you know, the stretch of good years for Pittsburgh, but... Yeah, a funny story that, you know, my grandma's in the middle of the melee and it makes, you know, the TV news that, you know, a fight breaks out in the stands of a fire game. And there's my 87-year-old grandma right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I had an interesting experience with Indians fans myself. I went to a Padres-Indians game back in the day. The Padres stunk like normal, and I'm sitting right on the third baseline about 2 rows back from third base, and fans couldn't be nicer. You know, the game's going on. The Indians are up 5-1. And it's the 9th inning. Everybody's laughing. We've never seen Padres fans before. You guys are like, you know, you're And Kevin, I'll never forget this. Kevin, I'm wearing a Padres jersey, and my buddy, who is not even a baseball fan, is just there to keep me company on my birthday. Kevin Kuzmanoff hits a grand slam in the ninth to tie it, and I swear, beers came raining down on me. I wasn't being a jerk. I wasn't doing anything like, you know, screaming or yelling. Beers, peanuts, everything just flying down on me. And then they won. And like, you could feel the win coming. They got up one in extra innings. And I go, we got to get out of here. Cause, you know, so we left after the Padres had taken the lead in the top. And we're like, I got to get out of here. We're not going to make it out of here alive. So as we're walking up the stairs, people are throwing things at us. And it was just cause I was wearing the opposing team's jersey.
I had a similar story in my sister-in-law and brother-in-law. They live in Chicago, and for the last couple of years, you know, before the pandemic, I would go to a couple of games out there, Pirates playing the Cubs, and it's like the third inning, and Pittsburgh jumped out to like a 3-0 lead, and I'm just jumping around like, yeah, Chicago, what now? And as soon as the Cubs rally scored like 5 in the 7th or whatever, just things doused at me, and I was like, I think it's time to leave now.
Yeah, I wasn't even jumping around. I'm not like a.
I was that loudmouth Italian jumping around and yelling, yeah, the Cubs stink. Well, I got it run back at me.
Yeah, I'm not that type of fan. Like, I just sit there and enjoy the game. I'm not a screamer. I just wanted to watch the game. I wanted to watch my favorite team lose like I normally do, but this time it was in person, and I was just covered in beer. We'll take one more. Well, actually, we got two timeouts. We'll take one more timeout before we wrap the show next on ESPN Radio Syracuse.